Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
We mentioned before that Paul in this letter is having to deal with some issues going on in the church. Apparently, there were some teachers who had come into the church and were giving Paul a hard time. And Paul isn't there in person, but he was responsible for planting this church and getting the church started. And as the church was growing, there were people who came in and were apparently coming against Paul's teaching and trying to put Paul down. And one of the tactics we see from people who are we're calling false teachers, they will come in and draw and put other people down to lift themselves up and try to draw people after their own teaching. So Paul in this letter is having to defend himself as an apostle, as one who is giving the truth to God's people. And there are times that you and I may have to defend ourselves also, and it's not for our sake. It's that the people might be able to see the truth and be able to stay on truth. So Paul is going to continue to teach here, and we'll see as we get in the background here a little bit of chapter 5, as we get a little further into it, that you can kind of hear some of the things that false teachers must have said against Paul as they were trying to cause divisions in the church. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the thought actually begins a little bit before that. So if you want to look at the end of chapter 4 down to verse 16, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." And he's talking about our physical bodies that are slowly dying. And he says that on the inside of us, though, we are being renewed each day. So inside, spiritually, if we are in Christ, we are alive and we are growing. And every day the Lord is renewing us. We have new life every day. He goes on then to say in verse 17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And that's what he's going to be talking about, the things that are eternal. So in chapter 5, as we get into that, this is where he is starting. It says in verse 1, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling." Now, here's something that we start with. He says at the very beginning of this verse, in verse 1, he says, "Now we know." So as we get into this, realize this is something that you and I are supposed to know as believers. And if we don't know this yet, the Lord is trying to instill this into us. And it's a very powerful teaching we get from this chapter, because we'll see by the time we get to the end of it that God is telling us to actually change our way of thinking if we haven't done that yet as Christians. So he goes in here and he says, "We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," and he's referring to our physical body as a tent. So today, as I look out, I see a whole bunch of tents that are here, okay? And that's the physical body that we have. The real person is living inside of this tent. And I like the terminology, this picture he gives us here, is a tent is a temporary thing. You know, in our culture, we may talk about tents, you know, if we're going to go camping or something, but most of the time, people aren't going to be living in the tents. It's just a temporary place that we're going to be. And he's telling these folks here that what we have to live in on this planet right now is simply like a tent. So as we have this tent, he says, we're not always going to stay here. He says, we know that we have a building from God. So it's not a tent any longer he's talking about. He's talking about now a building we have, and it's from God himself. He says, and that's an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So get the picture here. The Lord is saying, this body that we have now, and you know, we can do some exercise and try to pump this body up and get it strong and try to get it physical and use it to its maximum ability, but it's just a tent and it's temporary. It's going to fade away. You know, the scriptures tell us that we came from dust, and after this body is finished, after our soul leaves this body, it's going back to dust again. So this body, no matter how much we do to try to keep it up and keep it going, it's just a tent. And I think that's a great way for us to think about this body that we live in, because it reminds us it's just a temporary thing. But God has something better for us. He has a building, he says. And he refers to it as an eternal house in heaven. And that's an awesome thing to think about, that God has a body for you and I, who are, if we're in Christ today, he has a great place for us in the future. It's a new body, and it's a much better body than the one we have now. And we say, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, as some of us are starting to feel some of the aches and pains that come with these bodies. But I thought about it, kind of interesting here. You know, we always want what's best for our kids. You know, if we love our kids, we want what's best for them. And, you know, we try to do what we can to help our kids have things maybe better than we did. But we really want what's best for them. And you realize that God wants that for us as children too. He wants what's best for us. This place that we're living right now, this tent, has been defiled by sin, and it's dying for that reason. But God has a better place for us. It's a best thing for us, a best home. And that place is waiting for us in heaven. It's a brand new body, one that isn't like the one we have now. It's not going to decay. It doesn't have sickness. It doesn't have any allergy problems. And we say, thank you, Lord, for those things. But there won't be any sorrow. There won't be tears. It's going to be an awesome place once the Lord gets us into our eternal home and we start living in eternity with him in that new body. So that's going to be an awesome thing. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. And there's a reason he's doing that. We'll talk about in a minute. But look at verse 2. He says, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Now, if you've been walking with Christ for a while, and, you know, you get tired of the problems you see in this life and the things that hit us, you know, including our physical aches and pains, you probably get to the point where you say, man, I just can't wait till Jesus comes back. You know, I'm ready to go now. And that's the desire you really should have, is that this isn't the end of the story. You know, there are some folks out there now that are trying to teach that this is the kingdom of God. This is as good as it's going to get right now. This is it. And I'm thinking, man, you need to read the rest of the Bible, because it's got to get better than this. There's just too much going on that's not enjoyable, not blessing in the sense that we would like to see it. So don't be discouraged if you thought, man, I don't like what I see. This isn't anywhere close to what God has for us. He said he has a building that's an eternal house in heaven, an eternal body that we're going to have that will not be a temporary place, but it'll be an awesome place of pure health and you know, just great joy and blessing in the presence of the Lord. And that's what we have to look forward to. But he says, meanwhile, we are groaning right now where we live in this physical body. And I thought about this because I really like this illustration God gave us here. He talks about a tent being a temporary place, and then this building you're going to move into that's permanent. Have you ever lived in temporary housing? Have you ever had to do that? I know with the last home that we bought, we had to stay at our in-laws' house for a month. And because our house had sold, so we had a month in between before we could move into our place. So we were in one of those temporary dwelling places, you know. And it's kind of strange, because you get in there and you know that it's not really home, you know, so you can't fully relax as though you're home. You're kind of on edge a little bit, you know. It's just not, you know, you're not there yet. And then when the day comes where you finally get to move in and you kind of breathe a sigh of relief, you know, like, finally, we're getting into a place that we can kind of settle, you know. And that's the picture we have here. He says, we groan right now while we're in this tent. And it should be that way, because we're not home yet. So if you're groaning today, it's okay. The Lord says this is what we do with this tent that we have, looking forward to this eternal dwelling place that God has given to us. One of the statements made at the end of verse 1, it says this eternal house in heaven is not built by human hands. Now, I don't know if you've had a home built and if you've had, you know, some company take care of that for you and make sure it was all done the way you hoped it would be done. But no matter how well that could be done for you, that house that is being built for you was made by human hands. And the day will come, because of the materials and everything else, that it will decay. And if you read the end of the Bible, the Lord says it's all going to burn up anyway. So the day is going to come where no matter how good that thing was, it isn't the best. And it's not an eternal home. But the Lord has a place for us that is not made by human hands. God himself has designed a body for you and I in Christ that we're going to have for all eternity. And me, as I think about that, and I guess maybe because as I get older, you know, I just really appreciate thinking about this new body, this new home I'm going to be moving into. You know, that's going to be a place of no pain, no aches, no tiredness. You know, it's just going to be amazing as we see the little glimpse of it that God has given to us in His Word. He goes on here, he says in, at the end of verse 2, going into verse 3, we long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. And this is addressing something going on in their culture. The Greeks thought that there was no resurrection of the body. They thought that when a person dies, the soul of the person is just set free. And during our life, they feel that we were trapped inside of a body. But once death occurs, now the soul is free, okay? And it's just going to float around or roam or sleep or whatever view they come up with on after that. But the Lord tells us He didn't design us that way. You know, if you go back to the creation story, we were designed body, soul, and spirit. And the Lord intends us to fulfill that kind of creation. Well, right now, because of sin, our body is decaying and dying. Spiritually, we died the moment Adam and Eve sinned. So the Lord is going to recreate us and put us, the real person here, inside of a new body. So we will not be floating around somewhere as a spirit, but we will actually have a body and feel that completeness that God designed us to have. So the Lord's addressing this in their culture because they had some funny ideas, just like we still have funny ideas today. You know, thousands of years later, people still have weird ideas about what happens to a person after they die. Well, I wanted you to see something. If you hold your place here, look back to John chapter 5. And I'll let the Lord tell us this. In John chapter 5, if you look back to down to verse 25 when you get there, He says, I tell you the truth. This is John chapter 5, verse 25. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and He has given Him authority to judge, because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And the Lord lets us know right here that every single person is going to get a resurrected body. The problem is, those who have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the body they are given is going to be thrown into the lake of fire, and they will suffer for all eternity being condemned. That's what the Bible teaches us. But every person, whether they're a Christian or they're non-Christian, they will have a resurrected body, and that's what Jesus tells us right here. Now, He's not going into the time element at this point about when the resurrections occur. He's leaving it very general. But He does let us know that whether you've accepted Jesus Christ or not, you will have a new body. It's just that you want that new body to be a place of joy and blessing, not a place of condemnation and guilt and sorrow for all eternity. And we have that choice to make in this life, whether we're going to come to Jesus or not. Now, don't be fooled by this statement, too, when it says, those who have done good will rise to live. Some people try to take just this verse and ignore the rest of the scripture and not see that the Lord says doing good is coming to His Son Jesus. Because the Bible tells us the Lord commands men everywhere to repent and to believe on His Son. So for us to do good is to come to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean if you do good enough works that eventually you'll make it. That's not what it's talking about. So don't just take this verse. You've got to take all of Scripture to get the full meaning of that. All right, let's jump back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because he says in verse 4, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And the picture here, too, is that we have that longing to be there. So if you're a Christian and you say, you know, I feel bad, sometimes I'm complaining about this life and wanting it to be over, that's a normal thing as a Christian. Because the Lord tells us that this is not the place we're going to rest. You know, this isn't our eternal home. So we're not content here. And we're not supposed to be content in this body, this tent. So he says, while we're here, we are burdened and we are groaning because we don't wish to be unclothed. We want to have that new body. That's something that we really long for because we know it's there. We know God has it for us and we're anxious to be there. Now, how'd you like that last statement in verse 4? Because to me, it kind of catches you off guard. It says, so what is mortal may be swallowed up by death. That's what you would think it would say, but that's not what it says. It says, what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And for you and I as a Christian, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we've received his act on the cross to pay for our the penalty of our sins, then we are in Jesus Christ, we are in him, and we have now eternal life started in us. And the day will come where we get this new body and see the completion of that eternal life. But that mortality we have isn't going to be swallowed up by death. We don't have a sad end of the story. We have a happy end to the story, happy ending to the story. So for us, that mortality is going to be swallowed up by life. That's an awesome thing to think about all by itself. So if you're having one of those days, anytime this coming week, where you're just feeling down and thinking, man, I'm just dragging and I just can't seem to get out of this rut, you might want to come back to this verse right here and just meditate on that, that if you are in Jesus Christ, your mortality, this flesh that you have, is going to be swallowed up by life. And you're going to go into life. You're not going into death and the sadness that goes with death. He goes on in verse 5. And by the way, if you want to read further on this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he gives a description of this new body that we're going to have and how we're going to be changed. And the mortality will be overtaken by the immortality. And it's a great passage on that. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 5, it says, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. And stop right there a moment. You know, a lot of times we say, why am I here? Why has God put me on this earth? If you are in Jesus Christ today, look what it says here. And think about this. It is God who has made us for this very purpose. Do you know that God is so interested in you and me that he didn't just save us for this short life that we have on this earth? You know, like it's a real fast fizzle from a fireworks display or something, and it was a ooh, ah, and then it was over. No, the Lord has saved you and I for that eternal place he has us to go. He's made this great body for us to live in for eternity, and that's what he has made you and me for. Now, you can dwell on that one for a while because it lets us know that in eternity, God wants to have us there. He is so interested in having us there that he has a place prepared for us, and it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't like, well, Chuck came along, he was born, I couldn't stop that, so now that I have him, I guess I'll have to save him, and now that I've saved him, I guess I'll make an eternal home for him. I'll make a new body for him. That wasn't how it worked at all. God's design was, you know what? I want Chuck to be here in my eternal home, and I'm making a body for him, and oh yeah, I'm going to make Chuck too. I mean, think this one through if you really grasp what he is saying here, that you are so important to the Lord. That's why he made you, for eternity. It's not just for this life. Man, that's encouraging to me, you know, because sometimes, you know, we wake up and we might even look in the mirror and say, wow, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, you know, or look at the day and think, this day isn't what I thought it was going to be, and it's not all that shining glory that you were hoping, you know. Maybe when you trusted Christ, you thought every day was going to be this glorious moment, you know. And you'd see it physically every day. Well, we go through trials in this life as Christians, you know. And we don't see that all the time with our eyes. And that's why the Lord encourages us in the passage here not to go by what you see. Remember, he said at the end of verse 14, focus on what is unseen, because that's what's eternal. He goes on in verse 5. He says, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and he has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So God laid down a deposit in your life just to prove to you that he really does mean what he said right here. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Now I remember when I went to get my first car, many years ago, I went on this car lot, and not knowing anything about how this really works, you know, I went on the car lot, and I told the guy I liked the car that I saw, and I said, I'm going to think about it, and I'll be back. And he said, do you want to put something down on it? And I'm like, What would I want to put down on this car that I'm not sure I want, you know? And he told me, he said, well, if somebody else comes in for this car, you know, I'm going to sell it unless you put something down and let me know you're really serious about this, you know? So he convinced me that it was probably a good idea if I was at all interested, I probably should put something down just to have him hold that for me. So if I come back the next day and say, you know, I really want this car, that it's still there. Well, God has done that in a sense for you and me. He has given us a deposit just to let you know that He's serious about this and He's sure He wants you. He has given you His Holy Spirit. When you trusted Jesus Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit has come inside of us and He is now living inside of us. And He's the guarantee that God says, you're going all the way. I'm not just going to take you a little ways and drop you off. I'm bringing you all the way because I want you here with me for eternity. Do you realize God is speaking those words to you? God is saying, I want you here with me for all eternity. That blows my mind because I know what I'm like. And I'm thinking, Lord, why would you want me there for eternity? And maybe the Lord's whispering, well, I'm going to clean you up before then. So I'll get rid of all that thinking you have, all that selfish thoughts and everything, and you'll be really pure by the time I get you there, you know. So, but just to look at our life and know where we came from and things we've done, and to know that the Lord still says, I want you with me for eternity, so much so that I'm making a home for you. And it's ready. You know, the moment we get there, and when the day comes for the rapture to occur, the Lord says at that moment, we'll get our resurrected bodies. And that's going to be awesome at that point. So right now, though, God has given you a deposit. He laid down a deposit in your life, the Holy Spirit, to let you know He's bringing you home to that new home He has for you. Verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And that is a fact. Right now, this body we have is not as good as it's going to get. So if you've been walking with the Lord for a short time or a long time and you said, I thought it'd be better than this, it will be, okay? You may have great moments now, but they don't last long enough, I know, because, you know, I've had some great moments with the Lord and wish they would last longer and longer. Those times will happen, okay? Just hang in there. Right now, we're away from the Lord as we would like to be completely there with Him. Verse 7, it says, we live by faith and not by sight. So that's what the Lord is encouraging you and I to do. Don't trust in what you see. You may not like what you see in the mirror. You may not like what you see in life. But He says, walk by faith, not by sight. And faith means, I know this is true, what He's telling me. I have a future body that's coming. And I can't wait to get there. Okay? He goes on to verse 8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Now, stop right there, and if you mark your Bible, that's a verse you might want to mark because He's telling us something extremely important about the Christian life. He says we make it our goal to do what? To please God with our life. He says here, whether we are at home in the body, that's our Christian life right now, or He says whether we're away from it, that means our Christian death. After we die and this body stops working, we go to be in God's presence. Our goal is to please Him. Now, the Lord's going to point this out a little bit clearer still. He says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So I think for those people who might say, well, you know what? Now that you have told me, Paul, that I have this great body coming, then it doesn't matter what I do with this one, you know? I can waste this life if I want to, because in the next life, I've got a brand new start. I've got a brand new body, and it's going to be awesome then. And just in case we were thinking that, this little voice comes in the background and says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So that tells us it's really important how we live in this tent that God has placed us in right now. It's extremely important. So don't take this life in the tent too lightly. Okay? Look back for a moment at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and down in verse 9, He's dealing with a little bit different issue here, but he has some of the same truths to bring out. Romans 14, verse 9, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, his resurrection, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? That was the issue he was dealing with in the passage here. He says, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now, I don't care who you are today or who anybody is in this world, the Bible says right here that every knee will bow before him, no matter how great, no matter how small, and every tongue will confess to God what you have done in this life. Now, does that put some fear in you? I hope it does. It puts fear in me as I think these things through, because I look back and say, man, I know I've done some things in life I am not proud of at all. And the Lord says we're going to have to give account. Well, let me give you an encouragement today. If you're feeling like there's a cloud over you right now, and you're saying, man, I feel that pressure from the Lord. The encouragement is, repent now. Don't wait. If there's something in your life that's going on right now, something in your heart, that you don't want to have to stand before the Lord and have to explain that to him.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will.